Grace to you, mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn your attention with me to the Word of God, which is found in the final verses of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 21 to 24. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul calls these final five sentences of his letter, written by his own hand, after his having dictated the salutation and the body of the epistle, a greeting. According to the root meaning of the word, a verbal show of affection to substitute for the embraces he would have given if he had appeared in Corinth in person. Then follow in quick succession these disparate expressions. Let anyone with no love for the Lord be accursed. Lord, fulfill the promise of your final coming. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Jesus. Amen. So be it. These dissimilar thoughts seem to be incongruously tied together by the claim that they comprise a greeting, an expression of affection. But think of them not as freestanding, but as conclusions with a lengthy foregoing context. Cursing is not our business as children of God. Warning people about being accursed by their sins is. Blessing people, properly speaking, is not really our business. Telling people about God's blessing in Christ is. In this final greeting as conclusion, Paul went about his business in a very direct way. In effect, Paul said, I have dictated a long letter condemning your spiritually suicidal behavior, which grossly violates God's holy will, and commending to you the saving grace of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, it all comes down to this. By the preaching of the cross, on which God through Christ prepared forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation for you, by the preaching of Christ's resurrection as confirmation of Christ's victory on the cross, and therefore also confirmation of your victorious life in Christ, by your reception in the sacrament of the Lord's table of the precious body of Christ given and his blood shed for you for the remission of sin, you have been brought by the power of God from death and damnation to life and salvation by his gift of faith and gracious nourishing of that faith, which enables you to love God and to express that love by obedience to God. But you are allowing yourselves contradictions of love for God, scandalous denials of love which stifle faith itself by stifling its natural expression. He who finally has no love for the Lord is accursed and will have that confirmed when the Lord Jesus comes. Don't trifle. Hear me. I love you in Christ and implore his grace on you. As conclusion to the letter, Paul's greeting is embraced so to speak, touched the sore spot once more and applied healing balm to them. Do you, as children of God, like me, have sore spots of love-denying sin in your life? Make no general confession of them, just in principle, but identify them specifically, as Paul led the Corinthians to do. On this particular day, for example, it may well be worth one's effort to discern whether or not there is a threatening sore spot in the form of letting sudden relief from academic intensity become a self-indulgent release from restraint to the flesh. Not just for your presently felt sore spot, but for your whole being, I hold out to you the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The saving gospel still effective for us who already have believed. God's forgiving and healing gift. God's enabling and enlivening gift. By that gift, we love him who first loved us. Amen. So be it. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let us rise to prayer.
How will you be able to stand those who can kill the body? What will you do in the face of enemies and persecution and difficulty? All the things that were so graphically described for us in yesterday's homily. It is in that context that this comparison appears. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Fear not. It's a marvelous combination. You can find about 75 uses of it in the Old Testament and quite a few tripping through the New. I won't give them all, but try a sample. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right arm. For I, the Lord God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. You seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Fear not, for I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.